This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. You want to make sure you're fully insured. They also want to make sure that they'll save you money wherever they can. Customer service means everything to them at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Doug, by the way, you forgot to add, the suit is also out front on his picket line saying, "I shall overcome," as he circles the building. The problem is he forgot the rest of the words. All right, so let's bring in the outstanding Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle. My friend, welcome back.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. You?
Pretty good.
Good. All right. Interesting times on so many different levels. What was your reaction? And I think it wasn't a surprise that Dartmouth voted 13-2 that they want to join a union. But what do you see as the potential ramifications as we start to sort it out?
You have a couple hours.
Yes.
There are a lot. I mean, first of all, the vote was just part of the process, as you know, and there's some other steps that have to be taken before there's an actual union. I think we're headed in that direction. How soon, I don't know. I'm talking about Division One for sure, and you know, maybe it trickles down to Division Two and Division Three. But I think there's going to be some kind of, whether it's not, whether it's union or not, there's going to be some employer-employee relationship in the near future for college athletics. I don't see how it can't be. And honestly, I think it might be better, big picture-wise, than the current situation, which is just the wild, wild west.
It does bring organization to it, and it's something we've talked about, that maybe they do need to sit down and collectively bargain, because I think the NCAA's push to go through the government, this is an election year. They're not going to deal with this right now. They're not going to. And I don't even know if that's the best route to go anyway, but at least you would have on both sides coming together to at least give some structure. How about that?
Yeah, I think that, oh, absolutely, and you know, you can have structure, and you know, there's going to, it's not going to be as freewheeling as it is now, and especially after the Tennessee ruling a couple weeks ago. I just don't see what I mean, the NCAA has made it clear they're not going to stand in the way of, they're not going to fight anything when it comes to NIL. So, you know, Steve, I just think, you know, I hear this a lot from family members and from acquaintances, friends, you know, well, the NIL, this, that, the transfer. I'm like, well, we can dislike it, but it's here. And it's not going, you're not going back. So I think if you have some type of employee relationship, I think... like you said, there's more organization. I think there's a little bit more control, and you know, I've seen so many different stories that the NIL money overall might be drying up, and that's something honestly that Patrick Kraft said almost 2 years ago that he could see that happening. I think there's going to be some kind of compensation based thing, and then if you do unionize, then you're going into collective bargaining, then you're going into wage levels, then you could be going into taxes, and it's not simple, but I think considering how bad the situation is right now, and how it's just whoever has the most money is going to get the best players. I just think it's a little better situation.
But can you be cut? Can you be released? You're not performing to the level they want. We're paying you as an employee. Can that happen?
Well, that remains to be seen. That's got to be written into a contract language. And I think that's another thing that people don't necessarily foresee when if this takes place. And I think whether it's a union or not, I think it's going to happen. And I'm sure you read what Nick Saban said to Chris Love of ESPN, and
right.
He thought that he was going to have a very, very good team again this year, and he said what was happening is the players have two questions: how much playing time am I going to get, and how much money am I going to get? Period. They don't. It's not. What can I do to make this team better? What can I do to gain playing time? And this is the situation we're in. And if it's happening at an Alabama, it's happening everywhere. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was about to bring up the next Saban thing because, look, we've seen over the past couple of years no more Roy Williams, no more Mike Krzyzewski, no mm-hmm. Jay Wright, now no Nick Saban.
Yep. Right?
And this isn't a get off the lawn thing. It's just they're looking around saying, do I want to deal with this thing?
I agree. And I know I've watched the ESPN Hour show I've seen it. I know it's originated on the ACC network with Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski, and it was really very, very well done.
My friend
I was thinking the same thing as I'm watching it. I'm like, here's two guys that if this was 8 years ago and they were still the same age, would they still be coaching? And my guess is yes. Yeah. And they have nothing left to prove other than they're competitive people, and they want to honestly be teachers and teach kids the way they think things should be done. But anyway, you're right. You lose people like that, Jay Wright. You lose Nick Saban. Where does it end? And you just wonder. How long this current environment can continue.
But you still have other things like the actual playing to look forward to, and the Penn State will start spring practice next week. On your laundry list, what are you interested in seeing with this particular team as we get back to the fun stuff?
Well, it's a laundry list. I think the most important thing is you have three new coordinators. Let's start there.
Yes.
Let's start with the offense and Andy Kotelnicki. Since we could watch clips of the Kansas Jayhawks and the Buffalo Bulls from the last several years, but let's see how, as he said in December, about how he fits, the Penn State players fit his scheme, but how he's going to fit their talents. How is he going to work to make them put them in the best position to be successful? I'm curious. I mean, we may not see a lot of that in the spring, but I'm very curious about that. Obviously, the wide receivers. I think adding Julian Fleming was a big, big plus for a lot of reasons. Talent, intangibles. I think that's a big plus. How many of the guys who have returned wide receivers, how will they step up this spring? Will they be competitive? Will they be fighting for jobs. Will they be, you know, is it cut and dry that it's Julian Fleming, Keandre Lambert Smith, and Trey Wallace, or is somebody else going to enter that picture? You know, those two questions to me are the first things. And then with Abdul Carter moving to defensive end, how will the linebackers look? How will he look at defensive end? I think it's a good move, by the way, for not only the present but his future as well. But how will the linebackers look this year with Kobe King, Tony Rojas, Dom DeLuca, and others? And then how do you replace Olu Fashanu, Caden Wallace? How do you replace Kalen King and Johnny Dixon and Daquan Hardy? There's a lot to be ironed out here, not only in the spring but, you know, down the road in preseason camp.
You mentioned Julian Fleming, a couple of other of the transfers in. How interested are you to see how they fit?
Well, I think that's, I'm very interested because, you know, you have a Nolan Rucci, who is, he's a big guy.
Yes, he is.
You know, is he the leading candidate to be the left tackle? I would assume so. You have corners Jalen Kimber and A.J. Harris from the SEC. How will they fit in with somebody like Cam Miller? There are others too. I mean, you know, I'm not going to go down the whole list, but they're the ones who I'm most interested in seeing. How do they fit? I mean, if you remember last year, Storm Duck was here for a brief moment, and then, you know, for the spring, and then he left. And, you know, I'm interested to see how these guys fit in and where they fit in depth chart wise.
Storm Duck would have helped him too. I mean, I was impressed in watching him. I liked him. But that's just me. In terms of watching him play. Another part's going to be, and this will be a subtle one, but you have the snapper back. You have the punter back. But the place kicker has to be replaced. And so this is a new set of eyes on these guys. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I mean, Chase Meyer from Tulsa, transferred from Tulsa, he's got a... You know, he's got a good reputation. You know, does Xander Sahadak, does he get a chance? Not get a chance, but does he prove what the Penn State coaches saw in him a few years ago from the Lehigh Valley? Yeah, that's going to be interesting. And, you know, obviously, the most accurate kicker is going to, and the most consistent kicker is going to get the job. But, yeah, that's a battle to be won. I mean, I think it's a good situation for Justin Lustig to step into, the fact that you have the snapper back, Tyler Dusanski, and you have Alex Falcons back. Not Alex Falcons. Oh my gosh, I'm okay. Riley Thompson back. I think that's a good situation for the special teams. So how do you replace Daquan Hardy as a punt returner? Be interesting. Does Nick Singleton continue to return kicks? I don't know, but, you know, that's something that will be determined, I guess, or has been determined, but we don't know yet. So, you're right, Steve. The kicker, finding a kicker is not the easiest thing in the world.
No, it is not. The expansion to 12, we've talked about that before. Now they're already talking about when the new contract comes up of going to 14, with the SEC and the Big Ten pushing for the top two spots to be automatics for them. What's your thought on that?
It's the Big Ten and the SEC throwing their collective weight around. They know they're the two biggest power brokers in college football. And I think it's a tad arrogant. I don't like it. I think you should get in on your own merits. I do, and especially if you go to 14. It just kind of not a good tone, not a positive tone, I don't think, with the ACC and the Big 12 and the Group of Five too.
Look, obviously, in what we do, you either adapt or you die. It's as simple as that. What has it taken for you to adapt to the changes in college football, but also what has it taken for you to adapt in a business that you're in that every single day something gets thrown at you business-wise that is never comfortable?
Wow. I mean, you have to adapt to survive. I mean, you know, when I started covering Penn State for the Rennie Eagle, I was working on a Radio Shack computer that would take 3 to 5 minutes to send the story. You know, and everything now is instantaneous, not just transmitting a story, but everything else. Everything is 24/7. And you just do. I mean, I'm in a little different position now, Steve, because I'm a part-timer, for the last year and a half. This time of year, and I talked about this, I'm broadcasting high school basketball games.
Right.
And so, I have another position, too. And so I'm not, like, I follow it, but I'm not totally invested in it this time of the year. I will beginning next week,
right,
of course. But it's not, but you do have to change. And you, I remember in 89, I thought there were a lot of people covering Penn State back then, and there was, and there still is, just that they're working for, not they, the same people, but different outlets, different types of outlets.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've adjusted. I think, you know, I hope people don't look at me as an old fart, excuse the expression. I think I try to keep up with the times, try to stay current. But yeah, it's hard when everything is 24/7. It makes it harder for sure.
Rich, trusted and respected. You earned that, and you've done it. So that's why. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, trusted and respected. Everybody trusts you. They respect you. So that's never an issue. My friend, thanks so much. Appreciate you as always. Look forward to talking as this thing progresses.
I'll see you next week. I think maybe a couple days.
Sounds great, Rich. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve. Bye.
Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle. We'll come back more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. Myron Metcalf, ESPN, writing a terrific article this half hour, by the way, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Marcus Reed and somebody go to purdyinsurance.com. It's about attendance at basketball games, men's basketball games. And they said one of the issues in the non-conference is that a University of North Carolina professor, Nels Popp, said that they looked into 48 schools and they found that there's a 37% no-show rate during their non-conference games. In other words, fans bought tickets and didn't go to the game. Now, ticket sales account for about 15% of revenue for Division I athletics. And, of course, you know, if you don't go to the game, that means you didn't go to the concession stand, you didn't buy merchandise, and, by the way, you didn't pay to park. Right? So there's a domino to that. So everybody's trying to come up with different ways of overcoming it. Gerald Harrison, who's the athletic director at Austin Peay, and I've talked about this forever and ever and ever, okay? You're going to see a trend. I've talked about this 10 years ago. I talked about it 20 years ago. You're going to start seeing a trend towards smaller stadiums or, in this case, smaller arenas. And with flat-screen TVs and the ability to, you know, see any game anytime, that's what you're competing with. And that's why I complain all the time, openly, about what you're doing with the scoreboard in an arena. And I'm not just talking Penn State here. I'm talking everywhere I go. You have to deliver the amenities that the home person gets. Why should the home person had the advantage of seeing the replay? Why should the home person have the advantage of hearing the officials as to how they made the call after the replay and why they were looking at it, when the people in the arena don't hear them? What are we thinking? These are little things. And I tell my broadcasting class all the time, take care of the little things and the big things will take care of themselves. Those are two items I just talked about that are little things that so many schools aren't doing to enhance the experience of being in the arena. Like, oh, geez, I might as well stay at home. I got to watch the replay there. Can't blame you for saying it. I don't know what they're doing. They're trying to explain it to me. I don't understand what's going on. Again, same story. All right? Where somebody, you want somebody to stop from saying, gee, if I were home, I'd know. You don't want that. And that's just a list, one part of the list, which for some reason, people running these things don't get it.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome everyone back to the Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And the final half hour today brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. So it's interesting in going through this, you know, and like I see it, you know, I'll go to Ohio State, 18,000 seat arena, and, you know, they got 7,000 to 9,000 in there. You know, I went to Minnesota, yeah, it's a 14,000 seat arena. They had about 7,000 to 9,000 in there. So I mean, I've seen it up close and personal as to what's going on in every venue across the country. Myron Metcalf from ESPN wrote an article and talked with Gerald Harrison, who's the athletic director at Austin Peay. Like, okay, what can you learn from the athletic director at Austin Peay? How about a lot? For one thing, they downsized the new arena, and they downsized it. All right? Now, they've done certain things. There's a kids club, and for adults, they have the White Claw Club, things like that. Okay. The building has the F&M Bank Arena has 2,000 fewer seats than Dunn Center. And as you know, Texas is downsized from 17,000 at the Irwin Center down to 10,500 at the Moody Center. As you know, Baylor is downsized from 10,000 at the Farrell Center. And I did a couple games there. And their new place, the Foster Center, which is 7,800, right around there. And I look at, for example, what Northwestern did. Northwestern's renovation. I mean, it's still the smallest arena in the Big Ten. Somebody say, well, Rutgers is smaller. I go, really? I said 8,000 compared to 7,039. I says, my math tells me Northwestern's smaller. But it's double-decked. Everybody on top of the court, great view of the court, the whole thing. And it's marvelous what Northwestern did. Tremendous. So I said, take care of the little things and the big things can take care of themselves. Well, Harrison makes a great point about Austin Peay basketball in his conversation with Myron Metcalf. And this is another category of a little thing, but it's a big thing. He said, we had to get our food game on point. And he previously had been an administrator at Duke. People don't mind spending money in sports venues if you give them something they can't get elsewhere, or you can give them something that excites them. He says it's very important to get local restaurants in there. You can get your Nashville hot chicken in there. That's like a taste of going downtown without having to leave the building, since we've had a lot of compliments. Okay? That enhances the experience. The Jordan Center did this when they brought in Chickie and Pete's. Fans love it. Fans love it. I think I've only gone there one time. I don't have a lot of time to do that. But they love it. You know, that's a case of getting somebody in there like that. That helps. Replays on the scoreboard. Okay? Again, same story. Okay? You don't want to make the home experience better than the arena experience. Officials communicating with the fans. Same story. Why do the TV people have to know? Explain that to me. Why do they have to know? Right? And then I have to kind of sort of figure it out on my own as I sit there as what's going on. I'm sitting there. Right? Again, take care of the little things. And the big things take care of themselves. And that's what they have to do with this. You know? You have to upgrade. You know, I have to think, upgrade my food game. Upgrade my experience game. Upgrade my scoreboard game. You have to do all of that these days because you are competing with so many entities out there that want your entertainment dollar. It's not easy. Not easy. And so they talk about in college basketball, I mean, certain places are going to get sellouts no matter what. You know, we all got it. You know, I mean, you're going to get the sellout when you go to Fog Allen Fieldhouse or Cameron Indoor Stadium. You're going to get that. But you have to do everything you can these days to enhance the fan experience. Not winning helps. I mean, that's always going to help. But you can do a lot of other things to make the experience like, hey, you know what? I had a great time there. That was a lot of fun. It's great taking my family out. It was a fun experience for my family. And I mean, that's really important. You know, hey, we got great food. The game was fun. I didn't miss anything not being at home. It was great getting out. You know, when they had replays, I could see the replays. I knew, when the officials huddled up, I knew what was going on. Like all these little things they need to take care of. It's so important that if you slip on anything, because one of the things, I think Texas brought in a consultant from the Phoenix Suns. What do we do? And the consultant, who knows how much money the consultant got, but said to them, maybe you ought to have a DJ there. Okay. That was the recommendation from the consultant. So they brought a DJ in, and the attendance didn't change one iota. Oh, boy. Let's bring in a DJ. Sometimes this stuff is more common sense than people realize.
I always thought the reason for not doing the replays on the video board was to save the officials from booing and other such things.
The heck with them. So what?
Well,
seriously, the heck with them. So what? I mean, you made the call. Right? And guess what? You're looking at the replay anyway. Hey, you're already looking at the replay to see if you made a mistake. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the fans should be looking at it too. Right? Guess what? All those people did? Whether it's streaming or cable, they already paid their streaming and cable bills. And they made the extra step and bought the tickets. Give them what they need. I don't care about his feelings being hurt. I mean, come on. Oh, it protects the officials. From what? I mean, look, I've never gone to a game. Now, I realize way back Mindy Rudolph, something happened with him in the Celtics-Suns series, but that was 1976. okay? I have not seen anybody come out and go after an official on the field. Have you?
No.
No. So, okay, it's not an issue. Show the replays. Okay? Why? Because they paid good money both at home and there to be there. They made the extra step. They bought the parking. They bought the tickets. They went to the concessions. They bought the suit as number one merchandise. You know. I don't know how that got into the merchandise, but I mean, you know. I'm a little concerned about that, by the way. But, you know, it's, who cares about that? I could care less about that. What? How about the play? How about the play where the player turns it over and they show that replay?
Several times.
Yeah, over and over again. Oh, we're not supposed to feel bad for the kid? But we're supposed to feel bad for the fully grown adult making a call. Right? That's the part that gets me. It's okay to show the kid, like, throwing the ball out of bounds and completely missing somebody who made a cut on a play and looks very bad doing it. They show that replay. But, boy, we can't show a replay where the official, like, it's like the call is like, oh, what the heck was that? Right? Guess what? That's why I talk about postgame. They should be available to talk to the media. Why? You're the full-grown adults out there. Okay? If the coach has to talk, the player has to talk, you have to talk. I've said that forever and ever. Okay? You're adults. I'm not trying to drive you out of the industry. Okay? But guess what? Accountability also works, too, and explanations work as to what you saw it, and why you called it that way. Okay? And when it comes to looking at replays, all right, especially the ones where it's a video review, the fans in the arena should be sitting there and having all the advantages of seeing what's going on. I'm sorry. It's like this. You're out there for one reason and one reason only, okay? You're out there, okay, in terms of the fan part of it. You're entertainment. Where points are being scored and there's a winner and a loser. Okay? The coach isn't protected. People that go on message boards and everything like that and rip coaches about decisions and so forth, or players, they'll rip them. And, you know, and as we get into maybe more money being doled out to players for salaries, they're going to be open to more criticism by people. Oh, great. We paid X this amount of money and look how he's performing. Right? Tell me I'm wrong. You see that in the pros all the time. Doesn't matter whether it's pros or somewhat pros. And when it comes to the officials, I'm sorry. My job is not there to protect them. I've got security on the floor to protect them. Showing the replay up on the board is a courtesy to my fans. And I think it should be done everywhere.
I didn't disagree. It's just, it's always something that I wondered about too. I think they do it in the NFL, and that's about it.
First of all, I knew what you were driving at.
Yes,
you were only asking the question. You weren't. Yeah, I already knew that. So, right, that you thought that was the reason behind it. No, the NFL shows replays on the board, as you said. So is the NBA. The NBA, and so is the NHL. They do it. When they do a video review, they show it. Baseball, they're showing it in the park now. So they're doing that. College football, now they're showing it on the board. Right? College basketball is the one that's been lagging behind. College football, they explained, you know, what they're, you know, they tell you what they're looking at. And then you look up on the board and go, ha ha, he did step out of bounds. All right. Good. I like it. Right? Well, college basketball is the only one that keeps the fan base in the arena in the dark. I'll give you a good one. This is something Dick and I had never seen. We knew in the Illinois game. We knew in the Illinois game that they were looking at goaltending. Okay. On an Illinois play. But the replay was taking forever and ever and ever and ever. I'm like, well, what are they looking at? I mean, we, you know. And they had the video boards there at Rec Hall. We're looking at it and thinking, I'm like, okay. It's pretty obvious what's going on here. What's taking so long? Well, what they never told us was that they were looking at a previous goaltending along with this one that occurred in the same four-minute segment of the game. Really? Just announce to everybody what you're doing and why. That way, we're like, okay, now I can understand why it's taking a long time, because the other one that occurred 3 minutes ago, they got to go find it. And then what's the result of it? Well, it turned out the result was, right, hell ball decision, which gave the ball to Penn State. I mean, Penn State came this close to losing a possession in a game they won by one. If they didn't have the possession arrow, they wouldn't have had the ball. You see what I'm saying about that? Why did 6,000 people have to be kept in the dark about what was going on up down there, as it's taking forever and ever and ever? Meanwhile, the person at home is getting, oh, yeah, they're looking at this and this and this. We're like, really? See, that's my issue with it. Why keep the fans in the arena like questioning, like, what is going on? What are they looking at? See what I'm saying? And that's not being critical of the officials. They think they should go and look at something because they're not sure. That's not being critical of them. The whole point was to get the call right. All right, we'll wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. Missouri Valley Conference Tournament is underway in St. Louis. Missouri State leading Murray State 51-32 with 4 minutes to play in that one. That's the only one going on. Let me see if there's anything else this afternoon going on. Now, the Lady Lion basketball team will play at in Target Center tonight. They got Wisconsin. If they win the game, they have Iowa tomorrow. And, of course, this weekend's the Big Ten Wrestling Championship. And so a lot going on. We've hit that time of the weekend. Sun Belt Championship, second round. Georgia Southern beat South Alabama 76-71. In the Patriot tonight, Bucknell at American. That's at 7 with Doug. Navy's at Boston University tonight. Lehigh's at Lafayette, and Holy Cross is at Colgate. So those are the games in the Patriot tonight. Rutgers is at Wisconsin tonight in the Big Ten. And let's see, anything else here that's intriguing? Man, I watched BYU play last night against Iowa State. I said this earlier in the show. I feel like I wasted 15 minutes of my life watching it. It was like, it was a one-point game, and it kept being a one-point game, and a one-point game, and a one-point game, and nobody was scoring. Like, people are falling down, people are throwing the ball away. It's like, oh, what the heck? That's the sixth best team in America? Really? That's the 20th best team in America? Really?
Didn't Iowa State only win like 2 games 2 years ago?
Yeah, and they only won 2 games 2 years ago. TJ's done a great job out there. They went 18-0 at Hilton Coliseum this season. It's the fifth time they've ever gone undefeated at home, and the first time they've done it since 2001. Pretty impressive.
That might be Fred Hoiberg, the player.
Yeah. You're right. Credit, where all credit's due. I mean, they're a really good defensive team. They've got just enough offense to get by. And, again, credit to everybody there as to what they've done. Because Rajir Bolden was on that team that won 2 games, and then he transferred to Gonzaga. Yeah. So,
I bet an Iowa State-Virginia game would be a low-scoring affair.
Oh, brutal. Well, I think Virginia won last night, right?
I didn't see, actually.
It didn't score, either. I think they beat Wake Forest, didn't they?
Yeah, it's funny. Ever since Wake Forest decided to take on Joe Lunardi, they went into the a tailspin. They might not have to worry about being a bubble team anymore.
No kidding. Let's see. ACC last night. Let's see. Boston College beat Miami. No. Georgia Tech beat Wake Forest. Wow. So,
I think they've lost four or five in a row now. Wake Forest has.
Yeah, they haven't won since they had the court storming.
Mm.
And next up for Virginia will be Georgia Tech, and that'll be at 8 o'clock on the ACC network. Another fun one today. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Q, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And the final half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, my two favorites. Indeed, second.